Morning. Christ is in our midst. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's hard to believe we're about already halfway through the Advent, our Advent journey, traveling to the feast of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his Nativity. And this time of Advent is a time when we prepare ourselves to receive the King of Glory, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, as a newborn child once again into our lives. But sadly, over the past couple of years, sitting, and most recently since October, sitting in stark contrast to this beautiful and holy time, are two major wars, both in Israel and Palestine and in the Ukraine. So 2,000 years after the birth of the Prince of Peace, there's not much peace in the world. What are we Christians to do with this? On Christmas Eve, the choir, with great joy, and we'll join with them, and these words will be chanted, and we'll sing them from Isaiah, that prophesies this time of the Messiah. We'll sing, I can hear it in my ear now. God is with us. God enters our time and space and dwells with us. Understand all nations, understand all people of the earth, and submit yourselves to God. For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And of his peace, the Messiah's peace, there will be no end, that this peace is supposed to be everlasting. We just began a liturgy of the priest raising his hands saying, glory to God in highest, on what? On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Imitating, repeating the words of the shepherds who announced, the angels announced to the shepherds the birth of our Lord. See, we normally identify peace with the lack of strife, the lack of chaos, the absence of conflict. Peace is kumbaya, right? Our Lord never said, though, that there would be a lack of conflict in this age, in this world. In fact, on Holy Monday, he said the opposite. He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be alarmed. This is going to take place. Right? God doesn't make this take place, by the way. It's inevitable because of our fallen nature, right? But the end is not yet. For nation's going to rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there'll be earthquakes in various places and famines. And this is just the beginning of the end, the beginning of birth pangs. And I think we can all say that what our Lord said on Holy Monday 2,000 years ago rings very true. And according to the scriptures, we are living in these end times. We don't know how long the end times last. The end times is the second coming. Conflict, brothers and sisters, is a tragic part of everyday life in this fallen world. The peace that the angels sing about or sung about, the peace that Isaiah prophesies about, is not the absence of conflict. Our Lord tells the disciples, and I love this sentence, peace I live with you, I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, but I give to you. This peace is not found from a stroll on a beach or a walk in the woods or a glass of wine or a bottle of pills. In fact, writing this sermon, I realized how much addictions and everything else. People have so much turmoil in their life. It's because of this lack of peace in their lives. This peace that Christ gives, Paul says, is a peace that surpasses all understanding. This peace, in the words of one of my professors, Father Tom Hopko at seminary, said, is not the absence of strife, it's a presence. It's a, in his words, a very divine presence. This presence, Father Tom tells us, is the content of the divine life. In other words, brothers and sisters, peace is what God is. Peace is God's presence. It is the Holy Spirit within us. I love that in biblical times, New Testament times in Israel. People greet one another not with hello, but they say this expression, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you. It's a beautiful thing. Think about it. I wish it'd be better if we say that and then we say hello today, right, to each other. When we greet something, when they were greeting somebody, they were asking God to bless those people with his divine peaceful presence. That's what it said. What a beautiful greeting. You know, may God's presence be upon you, right? Likewise, when you enter someone's house in those days, the expression would be, may God's peace come upon this home or come upon this house. May God's presence be in this home. Similarly, during a liturgy, four times at least, the priest says, peace be unto all, right? He turns around and blesses the people. Why? Because he's invoking God's presence upon us. In fact, off the top of my head, I'm going to do a study on this right in the sermon. I just didn't have the time this week to do a study on this. But at least 10 or 11 times during the liturgy, just off the top of my head, peace is mentioned during the divine liturgy because we're seeking God's divine presence in our midst. Having said these things about peace, I can't fully explain this peace. It transcends all words. Like the Holy Apostle Paul says, the peace of God surpasses all understanding. I think another translation surpasses all understanding. This means that God's holy and divine peace is only understood on the level and experienced on the level of the heart. And see, brothers and sisters, I know this for a fact. We can stand in chaos. We can stand in the most difficult situations and still be at peace. When the most difficult things happen around us, a financial crisis, a problem with relationship, illness, the sickness of a loved one, or death of a loved one, we can find peace in the Holy Spirit. The difficulty will still be there, but all we have to do is lean totally into God, and his peace is there. That's why I would, you know, see things happen, and some people handle them so well, because they have peace. I think it's somebody in our community who took the chrismation name, Irene. Sharon Pierce. Things would be turmoil around her. In fact, things would be difficult around her. And still she would be able to have peace. And I always admired that about her. She was a woman of prayer, and she always had peace, and she took the name because and her 1 year is coming up. But that was for me the greatest example, greatest witness. Like the three holy youths, brothers and sisters, we can be surrounded by the flames. We can stand in the fire and all's going to be well because Christ, like in that story of the three holy youths in Daniel, Christ is there with us in peace, giving us peace. Now, the scriptures do promise a time of complete peace, cosmic peace, where there's no strife or chaos. You know, in the book of Revelation, talk about like chaotic wars in this world, but flat laying like glass, the Holy Spirit. So there's a time coming when everything will be peaceful here. The lion will lie with the lamb. The gator will play with the Seminole. There'll be no more storms. There'll be no more hurricanes. It is a time when this creation is totally transfigured with the absolute presence of Christ. It'll be totally filled with the peace of God. That are totally overwhelmingly filled with Christ, is the light of Christ. At the second coming, heaven will fill earth and all creation will be filled with God's presence. And God's presence is peace. No longer will there be strife. No longer will there be wars. No war will be conflicts. No war will be mass shootings. And no more will there be politics. I look forward to that. Peace on earth, brothers and sisters, is only found in Christ. And that peace, you know, of course, is sent on Christmas Day. But this peace is here and now for all of us who live their life and strive to live their lives in Christ. And my final thoughts. And this is the most important thing, hopefully, I say today. Our common vocation, all of us together, is to be agents of peace, to be people of peace, to be filled with peace, and to not do conflict, but instead do the opposite, to be the makers of peace. And that happens when it's in us. Our Lord says, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. If we're filled with peace, the peace of God, the peace of the Spirit, we'll organically be peacemakers. We will organically be proactive in making peace. As peacemakers, as people filled with the Spirit of God, we'll make our business to have peace with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with our family, with our friends. And we'll pray for peace. And I think one thing Miss Irene had, because she prayed, she had poverty of spirit, meaning she didn't care about having things her own way. She cared more about the relationship. And see, when we have this, we will turn the other cheek when something goes wrong, and we will bless those who persecute us. This is the way of Christ. Again, our Lord's words, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give it to you. This peace is acquired through the spiritual life, ascetical discipline, the things we're doing now during the Advent fast, increased prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, our worship here, and in the sacramental life. So, brothers and sisters, as we're halfway through Advent, let us strive for peace in our lives and our homes by receiving Christ's peace. And let us pray not only for the peace from above for ourselves, but peace for the world. I do all the time, especially in Israel, Palestine, and Ukraine. To Christ, the Prince of Peace, be glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.